stay tuned for The Lynn Show. Today, I'm dedicating the entire show as a memorial to musician Charlie Protzek, pianist, accompanist, composer, good friend, sweet soul. I'm playing an interview that I did with him a few years back, and although I did play several cuts from his CD at that time, I'm adding a couple, because one can never hear too much Charlie Protzek on the piano. So, hang on. Here come the show.
Hearing from an inner voice, finding choice where there's no choice, with gentle prodding from the voice. Oh, you really can. Deeper, deeper down
is a very sad show for me. Today, I am replaying an interview I did with Charlie Protzek, who died last week. Charlie, as I will say over and over again in this show, was the quintessential musician. He was a pianist. He could play anything. He was a composer. He was an accompanist. This doesn't sound remarkable. Lots of people can lay claim to these qualities. But Charlie was remarkable. He was, in my view, and I know in the view of many, extremely special, one of a kind. Charlie played one of the many things Charlie did was he was the pianist in a jazz band called That Jazz Band, along with Mark Neuenschwander as the bass player and Al Hickison, the drummer and band leader. And That Jazz Band played, and still does actually, although without Charlie, on Monday nights in Sarasota, Florida at a jazz jam during season. the band will play a few tunes on their own, and then musicians and singers will sit in. In 1998, I thought I might like to go down and sit in with the jazz jam. They've been doing this long before that. But I hadn't been on a stage in a long time, and so I approached Charlie after one night and asked if he would come to the house and play for me. Now, I'm sure this is a very odd request. I wasn't working on audition material or trying to set up a cabaret act. I wasn't even actually sure I would sing anywhere. But I wanted to sing, so I asked Charlie to come to the house and play for me. He didn't say, "Are you crazy?" That wasn't Charlie's way, even if he thought it. But he did come. And that first day, I put a piece of paper on the piano with 40 song titles and keys. And Charlie played them all, without music. Charlie didn't need music. The music was in his fingers. And because I hadn't done a lot of those songs in a long time, the keys were not always right, so a little bit higher, a little bit lower, a little bit faster, a little bit slower, this style, that style. Charlie could play it all. If you're not a musician, you may not know how extraordinary this is, but believe me, it's extraordinary. And then I did start to sing at the jam. And then I discovered another one of Charlie's amazing attributes. Although he's remarkable, and you will hear because I'm going to play cuts from his CD, he's remarkable on the piano. He's just remarkable. He plays beautifully, wonderfully, tastefully, cleverly, interestingly. He plays. But when he accompanies, he's just an accompanist. This is, again, a remarkable, unusual skill. Very few musicians have the awareness, never mind the skill, to support a singer without overwhelming, to really listen. I, and I know other singers because I've heard them do it, get lost, come in at the wrong place, sing in the wrong key. Charlie would find a way to make that okay. He would either keep playing the thing until you heard it so that you would get back, or he'd just find you and play what you were singing. And not only was he so aware and generous, but it annoyed him when other musicians were not. Again, unusual, remarkable. Charlie stopped coming by the house and playing for me, and I started to sing at the jam. And over the last couple of years, I would show up at the jam and I would say, "Charlie, I think I'd like to sing I Thought About You," or "When I Fall in Love," or whatever I wanted to sing. What key would I do it in? And Charlie would be quiet for a moment or two, and I knew that he was running the song in his head, hearing where the highest notes were, and knowing what my range was, and telling me what key I sang the song in. I don't know who's going to do that for me now. Charlie will be missed by everybody who knew him. Because the other remarkable quality about him was he did not seem to know how amazing he was. There was no ego and no... he just did it. It was as though he didn't really get it, that it was remarkable. And also, Charlie never gave false praise. So if at the end of a song he nodded his head and smiled, that was a very big deal. So, I am playing in this show an interview that I did with him a couple of years ago. And in it, in that show, I also played a couple of cuts from his CD. I'm going to play that whole interview with those cuts, but I'm also going to start off with a cut from the CD that I did not include in the original. But I just want to play as much of Charlie's music as I can in this show. And so I'm going to start off with Charlie's version of Chopin's Prelude. And then I'm going to go to the show. So I'll introduce the interview and other songs from the CD. But now, Charlie Protzek, along with Mark Neuenschwander and Chuck Parr, Chopin's Prelude. Thank you. And now, here's the original interview I did with Charlie some 2 years ago. Today, I am going to air an interview with Charlie Pratzek, who is a wonderful, wonderful piano player and the perfect accompanist for a singer, and also, as you will hear, a wonderful composer. This is one of the shortest interviews that I have ever done, and that's because Charlie doesn't communicate basically through words, language, talking. He communicates at that piano. And so I'm going to play the interview so that you can hear him and get a sense of him and what goes into making him. But I'm going to play several cuts from the CD he gave me, CD called Dream World. There are two originals on this CD, and Cantique is the first one. I'm going to play that, then I'm going to play another song, and then I'm going to play the interview. But here is the sensitive, beautiful... God, I can't think of words that really capture what happens when Charlie sits down at the piano, so I guess I'll just stop and play it. Thank you. Isn't that beautiful? I told you, and at the end of the show, I'm going to play another original tune of Charlie's, the title tune from the CD Dream World. But having played that gorgeous piece, in the event that you think that because he can think and play so amazingly beautifully that he can't swing, I'm going to play two tunes that highlight Charlie moving around the keys in swing time. And also, I want to point out that his bass player, Mark Neuenschwander, who, if you were listening a few weeks ago, you heard my interview with Mark, and his drummer, Chuck Parr, are both highlit in these tunes. And so first I'm going to play Look for the Silver Lining, and then I'm going to play They Say It's Wonderful. It is wonderful. And so here is the very much missed Charlie Protzik. Now, they say it's wonderful. Now that you've heard what Charlie does naturally, easily, spectacularly, I'm going to play the interview I did with him, and I'm starting it just as we started. Charlie is shy and not really comfortable doing this interview, so you can hear. He starts out by saying to me, "What are we doing here, Charlie and me?"
What are we doing?
Okay, what we're doing is I am interviewing Charlie Pratzek, who is not happy about it, but is so generous that he's indulging me. We'll see. Charlie Pratzek is a brilliant piano player. He's a singer's dream. He is the person you always want to have at the piano when you are singing. And I know this because I have had the opportunity to sing with Charlie behind me many, many, many times. And he has saved me many, many, many times. When I have gotten lost, I can hear Charlie finding me on the piano, letting me know where I'm supposed to be. This is an incredibly rare capacity. So not only is he a brilliant piano player, but he's a kind and generous accompanist. So, this is the thing, Charlie. I'm doing this radio show, and I can do whatever I want. So I've decided to do some interviews with people who make their living with their art, playing, dancing, painting, singing, whatever it is. Uh-huh. And mostly what I want is just to know whatever it is that you would feel comfortable saying about what it's like to have made a life, because you have. You've been playing. How many years are you playing?
Oh, I would say 45 or so.
Mm-hmm. Professionally,
yeah.
How long?
Professionally, yeah.
45 years, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That has to be, I mean, you have to be in a small percentage of people who've been able to play for 45 years.
That's probably true, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The smarter people would get a day job. But no, I have done that, and I've also worked two jobs, actually, with the music company. When I was in Dallas for 35 years,
mm-hmm.
and I worked for a music company there.
What did you do there?
Well, I did a little bit of everything. I was a salesman first in piano department stores there for them, and then I took over their warehouse and handled all their band instruments and things like that. And then when I would call on the schools, the band directors in the schools and all.
And place them or sell them or make sure they had them?
Yeah, right. Well, they had a rental program
mm-hmm.
where they would rent on like a three-month basis, you know. And I was a store manager for a while, mm-hmm. about 5 years. Yeah. But I was trying to play at the same time, you know. And so,
day and night.
Yeah. Sometimes you didn't know whether you were
coming or going.
And then if the child was not taking to it, they could return the instrument. Mm.
So was there a lot of work in Dallas when you were...
Yeah. Yeah, I went there in 1961, and a friend of mine I'd gone to college with urged me to come down there, and I did. And there were a lot of clubs there that had trios, bass, piano, and drums. And they were all private clubs because they did not sell liquor by the drink down there across the bar. You know, you had to bring your own bottle. That
wow.
Kind of thing. So, but they all had trios. There was a lot of clubs like that. So I started working there and did most of my playing there, right there in Dallas. Did not travel or anything.
And oh, my God. Another anomaly.
Yes.
Truly, a musician who is playing in town?
Yeah.
Going home for dinner.
Of course, I was married. And I had three children, and I liked that. I liked being home.
Right.
I didn't want to travel, you know. So that's what I did for all those years.
But you wanted to play.
Yeah, I did want to play. And I have done that. And then in 1995, I moved to Florida and even did actually more playing here, because it was kind of drying up in Dallas at that time. And so since I've been in Florida, I've worked quite a bit and with some really good players here.
Yeah, it's amazing how many good players there are here mm-hmm. in our little town.
Yeah, and some of the older people who had been around for years and were retiring here, you know, that had semi-names too.
Yes.
So that's what I've been doing the last 13 years here now. Yeah.
So
and
I'm
playing the singers.
Well, yeah. Mm. How did you get started? I mean, are you from a musical family?
No, not really. Nope. When I was about 9 years old, and I lived in New Jersey, in Trenton, outside of Trenton, and there was a guy up the street, probably maybe 20 years old or something, had a piano, and he played somewhat, you know, and I would go up there and listen to him a little bit, and I thought, oh, that'd be nice, you know, learn how to do that. So I started taking lessons, and the rest is history.
Well,
I took lessons all the way through college, you know, most of my college.
What did you study?
I studied music in college, yeah.
You did?
Yes.
So when you took lessons, were you learning classical stuff?
Yes, it was all serious.
All serious
study, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I learned the pop stuff, the pop tunes of the day, on my own. You know, my father would buy me sheet music all the time.
He would. So did they like it?
Book,
That you played?
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Did they mind that you wanted to be a musician?
No, I don't think so. They never told
they
me
never
that.
They never said, "Don't do
least.
That."
No. I kind of decided that in high school. You know, I was really interested in playing baseball, which I had done quite a bit. And then I thought, well, here I am accompanying the glee club in high school. I better not be playing baseball at the same time, because sure enough, I'm going to get hit in the hand with a ball, and that's going to be it, you know, the night of the big concert or something. So so I decided, yeah, I was going to pursue music. And,
do you have brothers and sisters?
I have one brother, yeah.
Was he interested in music?
No, not really. He played in the band in high school, I think. He played clarinet and saxophone a little bit, but that was about it. Yeah.
So you're just sort of a, I mean,
kind of a weirdo, yeah.
Well, in your family, I mean, you know,
in my family, yeah.
Yeah, because this is not an easy life.
No.
You know, and it seems to me from the interviews, I've been interviewing now for a while a lot of people, and it almost seems as though the thing chooses them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's probably correct, you know. I don't know. When you're young like that, you don't really have a whole lot of direction either, you know. I mean, I think nowadays with the educational experiences that they have in school, they probably pick their direction a little earlier than maybe somebody like myself. All I wanted to do when I got out of college was go play.
Yes.
I mean, that last semester in college, you know, I was cruising, you know.
Right.
Can't wait to get out, you know. And I, that's what I wanted to do. So I went down to Dallas, and it worked out down there. I started working a couple months later, you know.
Forgive me, I mean, maybe this, you won't think this is true, but you're a kind of serious guy. I mean, not that you're not funny, because you are funny, but but you're kind of a serious guy. And you don't come across as a kind of jazz musician type.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, people always said you look like a Philadelphia lawyer.
Yeah, know? Right.
Well, I've always viewed it as a serious thing, and I always wanted to be better. I always wanted to improve, and no matter what kind of a gig I would play, I did my best on it, you know. I never just blew it off or anything like that. You know?
No.
So, yeah, and I know I've improved a lot. I can see it myself over the years, you know, and right now I'm enjoying it. Put my own CD out about 5 years ago.
Yeah, it's great.
That was nice. I was able to do that. I just did it so I could have it to give to my grandkids. So I've done pretty much what I wanted to do with it.
The first time Charlie came here to play with me, I put a piece of paper on the piano, and it had 40 tunes on it, and it had keys next to it, and Charlie just played everything. I was standing here with my mouth open. That is not a common capacity.
Well, those tunes that you put in front of me are what they call the Great American Songbook.
Right.
You know. Now, I've been through that Great American Songbook
in every key,
thousands of times, you know. And I've worked with a lot of singers, of course, and that's why I remember some of the lyrics occasionally, you know, because I actually associate the lyrics with the melody, you know, when it's going on, and somebody sings the wrong lyric in there, I look up, you know, and say, hey, what's going on here? But yeah, all those tunes I've played so many times that I know the tunes, and of course, a good piano player should be able to play it in other keys also, you know, not just the key it was written in, and that's very helpful for singers. And I've done it with I've done about, well, 10 CDs with different singers in this area, actually, since I've been here.
Wow. You know?
And, yeah, and so you just keep playing those tunes over and over again, and actually it's nice to put it in another key occasionally. You don't get bored with it. You know?
Well, it was startling to me, and I agree with you that good piano players ought to be able to do that, so there may not be that many of them out there.
But there are some excellent piano players, young piano players that are coming up. I mean, I hear a new one every day on the public radio. So there are good musicians. Now, I don't know whether these guys are actually going to make a living at it or not.
Right.
You know? I mean, I couldn't believe it when I was in Dallas. I went up to North Texas State University and worked on my master's degree for a little while. I didn't ever finish it, but I worked on it. When I went up there, there were 1,400 music majors in that place.
Holy cow.
And I thought, wow, that's great, but what are all these people
going to
do? You know. Right. Well, at the time, actually, they were taking a lot of them to play in the big bands that were still going. Woody Herman's band, Stan Kenton's band and all, and they used those kids, you know. But those bands just almost disappeared. I mean, some of them have kept going, you know. But I think a lot of the musicians now probably realize they may need something other
to fall back on.
Yeah. I mean, they can go out and play, hook up with a rock and roll group or something and really hit it big, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. that's possible. But I don't know. There's still a lot of talent out there, young talent out there.
And I wind up saying in almost every interview that we're not really a culture that has room for artists. You know, you know, a few people will make a living at it in terms of percentage of how many people would want to or have tried.
Right.
So did your kids play?
No, my kids did not play.
They had no interest.
No.
Oh.
But they are. My daughter got an art degree.
Oh.
She was interested in art.
Mm-hmm.
My son has a journalism degree.
Yeah.
You know, so they're all kind of creative.
So the creativity got out there, just not in that
right,
area.
Yeah, not in music. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I tried to give them piano lessons one time. That didn't work. Can't give your own kid piano lessons.
No, it's like a doctor operating.
I think they think that they don't have to practice because your father is the teacher, you know, and he's not going to, yeah, so anyhow, but they're all in some kind of creative thing.
Yeah. Is there anything that you would say, I guess, to people who fall in love with music or playing, any kind of advice you would give?
Yeah, I mean, of course, do your best, you know, at what you put out there, and I'm sorry, but there's a lot of bad music out there. And a lot of bad performers, a lot of singers that really can't sing, you know. But it's all, seems to be all visual now, you know. You've got fireworks and you play loud and, you know, and you don't really have to have a voice and all that, you know. So I've never gotten into that. I've been lucky because I've been able to play all the standard tunes for years.
Mm-hmm. You
know? I never had to play any of the other things in order to make a living, except for maybe 3 years I did some, you know, Carole King things, mm-hmm. or Carpenter's
Yeah,
stuff,
soft rock.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, yeah. But no, I just say do your best, you know, do your best at whatever you're working at. I don't know how long I'll be able to keep playing the American standards, you know, the people that remember them are getting pretty old.
Pretty old, yeah. I know. So. Although, it always surprises me that famous performers who have made their careers in pop and rock always wind up doing an album with the American Songbook the minute that they can.
Yeah,
you know, Rod Stewart
way,
and Linda
it?
Ronstadt,
mm-hmm.
and you know, they just
Carly Simon,
right? The minute that they have enough clout. Mm-hmm. They do the American song.
That's true. I don't know.
They're wonderful songs.
They are. That's the thing. I think they discover that eventually, you know, that they are wonderful. That's true. And who was the other one? Joni Mitchell?
Yeah. Right.
Folk singer.
And it's always startling to me. You suddenly hear, you know, rock stars singing, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, really, really standard beautiful songs. So I wonder if they will ever really go out of fashion in a way.
Well, I hope not. I hope they stay around just like the classical music has.
Well, you know, it occurs to me that if people like that keep putting out albums like that, if their younger fans listen to that, then maybe it will kind of, you know, there'll be a next generation that will know this music because this generation of stars has recorded it.
And I think there are younger people that are interested in that kind of music, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we do have younger people come hear us play sometime, you know.
Well, and also want to play it.
Yeah.
You know, I was in Pittsburgh, and I saw this young man, an amazing piano player and vocalist, and he's not doing anything that was written before 1952.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You know?
Sure.
I mean, So, and he can't be more than 22 years old.
Yeah.
So, those people are going to go on playing it. Maybe people will go on listening to it.
Hopefully that will happen, yes.
I am struck by your saying, you're talking about working hard and being mm-hmm. diligent and being committed to that. And I do think that's not that common, you know, that we are kind of a disposal mm-hmm. society, you know, we're not focused particularly on hard work.
Right.
But, it shows in everything that you do.
Well, working hard at it, you'll discover more things. You know, I mean, a lot of rock and roll people are accused of just knowing three chords on guitar. That's right. About it. Okay, if they do, if they'll study a little bit, they'll find out there are other chords on the guitar, and they sound pretty good, you mm-hmm. know, and they come up with different ideas for music. I think that's what people need to do, you know, and not just stomp it, you know, stomp on one chord for 5 minutes or something.
No.
I can't really listen to much of that, you know.
I'm not always listening to exactly what's being played behind me, unless somebody's playing something wrong behind me and I can't,
okay,
I'm lost,
right.
You know.
Well, then you know it.
Right, then I pay attention. But I do listen to you, and it's a pleasure to hear you playing behind me.
Well, thank you.
You know, you are often just playing beautiful lines behind me, and I'm grateful.
Well, I try to accompany someone in that manner. Some piano players are a little too busy when they play behind the singer, or they're playing their own little solo while
right.
the singer's trying to sing the song. You know,
right.
But I try to just compliment the singer.
Yeah, well, you do. And even though you're not getting in the way, what you're playing is so lovely. So I will take this opportunity to thank you for all the singers you have played behind.
You're welcome.
And and for this.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye-bye.
So there you have it, my interview with the sweet and talented Charlie Protzek. And I'm going to close the show with the title tune of his CD, Dream World, which is also a composition of his. And as I always do at the end of every show, I need to thank Josh Hackney, who makes the sound of my show as good as it can possibly be and helps me in the area of computers, recording, electronics, sound. He's my IT guru, much the way Charlie was my music guru. So, thank you, Josh. Oh, gosh, and it occurs to me I didn't say anything about myself in this show. So, if you want to get a hold of Josh, if you need any of those things, or if you want to get a hold of me, you can go to my website, which is thelynshow.com, thelynshow. The podcast of this show will be up there, as well as the podcast of all of my shows, and all kinds of other information about me. So as always, I hope you got something from this show that you can use. Something that touched you, something that inspired you, or something you enjoyed. Something that will bring you back, because I will be back next week, same time, same station. And I sure hope you will be too. And we're going to go out with Dream World.
I'm getting older. My hair is turning gray. Always in my face and figure I've both seen better days. Well, I won't be retiring. I won't slip out of sight. No, I will not go gentle into that good night. I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Life's a song I keep on singing, not a tune that I once sang. I just keep returning like some goddamn boomerang. No, I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. You see that I have had my shot. My time has come and gone. Oh, won't I freeze? Get off the stage, let someone else get on. Well, I won't be relegated or leave without a fight. No, I will not go gentle into that good night. I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Life's a bell I keep on ringing, not a chime that I once rang. You may think it's unseemly. Well, I don't give a dang. No, I won't go.